This is When Spirit Calls, and you on your journey are in the right place. This show is about magic, miracles, and meaning shared through stories, interviews, and channeled messages. We have so much to share about who you are and your divine mission here on the earth. Let's get to it. When Spirit Calls is right now. Today's guest on When Spirit Calls is Reverend Cheryl Brewster. Cheryl's story is one of extraordinary trust. In 2004, she left a successful career in the corporate world to follow a calling and founded The Intuitive Life to provide consultations and workshops to both individuals and organizations. Shortly after, a family health crisis plunged her deep into the dark night of the soul, testing every ounce of her faith and stamina. For over 20 years, Cheryl dug deep, researched, and embraced the power of surrender in a spiritual awakening. She trained in metaphysics, mindfulness, neuroscience, and NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy, as well as adult education, to better teach how to harness the power of the unconscious mind. Her clients include thought leaders and organizations keen to make big change. As a consultant, speaker, teacher, and spiritual officiant for weddings and life memorials, Cheryl invites you to a journey of self-discovery where uncertainty becomes a gateway to newfound strength and purpose. Hello, everyone. So happy to be back with you again on another edition of When Spirit Calls. As usual, we have another extra special guest with us today. Cheryl's here with us. Hello, Cheryl Brewster.
Hello.
I am so happy you are here. You and I are old friends from other lifetimes. But, you know, the last few years, we've had a chance to connect on multiple levels. And I just knew that I wanted you to be on this show because you have so much wisdom to impart on our listeners. So, of course, in usual fashion on When Spirit Calls, I would love for you to start us off. Let us get to know you a little bit. Would you tell us a bit of your backstory and how you came into your role as a transition and spiritual business mentor? So I'd really love for people to know, what is it that led you there? How did Spirit call you in that journey? So take it away.
Sure. Thank you. Well, long, long time ago, in a universe, actually, not so far away, I knew that there was a special connection with life. I knew that from a very young age, and really lovely experiences growing up, just connecting with nature. And in my whole life, I came from a Ukrainian family, so it was all about you know, family and food. And in that experience, there was a lot of, I want to say, coming to spirituality through the Christian faith, which, you know, I so appreciated because I always felt a connection with God. And that Christ connection was profound and meant everything to me. So, you know, I got involved in teaching Sunday school and being the youth group leader. So imagine my surprise when years down the road, I'm in my late 30s, early 40s, and I get the inclination out of the blue to learn everything I can about being intuitive and psychic. You know, in that background wasn't necessarily understood or embraced. So I went through a real dark night of the soul where at the end there are no words. It was like, I felt like the rug got pulled out from underneath me.
Yeah.
Because this very special relationship with Christ, like, what do I do with that? But, you know, reading Course in Miracles, that divinity is within us. That wasn't, you know, kind of how I looked at myself. So that brought out a really massive internal search and a call to truth. And thank goodness my husband at the time finally said to me, Cheryl, are you going to be true to your own heart? Or to what, you know, other people or institutions are telling you.
Wow.
Yeah. So that allowed me, once I made peace with that, to investigate further. Madame Blavatsky came into my life in a big way. Edgar Cayce. What was exciting for me was Edgar Cayce was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helped me kind of come to terms with the, I want to say, the metaphysical side of life compared to, you know, some of the more traditional. So I did make my peace and I found it to be extraordinary. So as a result, I left the corporate world, had taken some training previously, not intending to do intuitive work professionally, but I was really good at it, loved it. And so that began me on my journey. I started out with readings, teaching intuitive development, took it into the business world. And now as a speaker, I'm really expanding some of the recent training I've taken in neuroscience and NLP, et cetera.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I love that you shared about kind of your Christian background and that transition into more of the metaphysical understanding. For those listeners that don't know Edgar Cayce, would you give them just a little bit of insight as to who that person is in this world and why that would be significant for you?
Yeah, he was the most famous documented psychic of his time. I think he died in the 40s. I can't quite remember, but make a long story short, he had developed laryngitis. He couldn't work. So he was desperate and had someone hypnotize him. And he went deep into trance and came forward with all of this information. And they're going, where did that come from?
Wow.
And his counterpart in the day, Carl Jung, was also talking about the collective unconscious. So the timing of the two of them on opposite sides of the world is phenomenal.
It really is. And you know what? We often reference him when it comes to work in the Akashic Records because he really was the founder of understanding this other dimensional space that we could connect with. And you're right. I think he died in 45. So yeah. So thank you so much for sharing that so that people, if they're interested, they can go and explore and seek that out. So a story actually popped into my mind, and I know that I've shared this story on previous episodes when we've kind of had this conversation about people who are entrenched in some sort of religion doctrine and, you know, have some very strong beliefs in that space. And then, you know, transition or something happens that makes them kind of look at the world in a broader sense. And I want to share this story again because I feel like it's such a powerful story for me. And I think you'll really understand this story and resonate with it as well. So I was busy working on a book that's going to come out later this year called The Ark. And this was about 2-3 years ago. And I had been doing this work for quite some time. I was raised Catholic myself. So, you know, First Communion, all the things, you know, going to church every Sunday growing up, that was kind of, you know, my life. And so when I was doing research for my book, I was going through the Bible and reading certain verses. And as you know, in the Bible, it's very specific to say that, you know, mediums are talking to people on the other side and the psychic stuff, it's all, you're damned to hell. It says, you're going to hell if you do this stuff. And so I'm reading this. And although I had read it before, it really was like heavy on my heart. And so I prayed about it. And I said, okay, God, can you please give me a very clear sign that I'm on the right track? I really need to know from you directly. And I wanted something so clear. And I wasn't specific about what I wanted in terms of the answer, but it apparently didn't matter. So as soon as I finished that prayer, the wind gusted the front door of the casita open. I was down south in Mexico at the time. The wind gusted, blew the front door of the casita open. And out in my direct line of sight, across the river on the top of the hill, was a cross I had never noticed before.
Oh, Dan.
I got goosebumps. And so that was my sign from God to say, you're on the right track. So even though it might say that in the Bible, and I don't want to undermine anyone's belief systems or anything, but I think it's misinterpreted. I think how it's written and how it's interpreted is part of the challenge of that beautiful book. And so, you know, there's this piece for me in deepening my understanding of meaning for me, of my inner truth. And so I share that story with those of you that are listening that perhaps you are Christian, and I am Christian as well, by the way. I still consider myself Christian. I work directly with Source. And even though I might not follow some of the other things that an organized religion might, I still believe that I am doing God's work. And I think that's where you're at. You're doing God's work and you know that. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, I have a similar story. I love what you just shared, yeah, because I too prayed when I wanted to leave corporate, because it was like, you want it. I felt this calling from God. You want me to what?
Yeah.
It's like, what? It's called the Jonah complex, not me. Literally.
Yeah.
So I too prayed about it. And I was led to pick up a book that I'd bought from a bookstore. At the time, did not want to buy it because it was like, I think at the time it was about the Palladians. So I thought, wait a minute, I haven't got God figured out yet, let alone these guys.
Now I'm going to go into the Galactics, right? Yeah.
So I tried to read the book. It didn't make sense. I put it away. Anyways, this one day I was led to it as I was praying. What do I do? Is this the right thing? Do you really want me to do this? And I opened the book. And I had previously set up what's in the Bible, it would be called a fleece, where I set up, if this happens, I know I'm on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
With symbols. It was working with, show me a sign.
Yeah.
Show me a symbol. So my sign was a boomerang. And I said to God, if I meant to do this, I'll see a boomerang. A real boomerang will come into my life. And then I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll give you a little leeway, God. Three little boomerangs or one real one? So I kept watching, you know, usually license plates would talk to me or the sides of a bus or a TV commercial. Mm-hmm. There was nothing. I'm going, oh. So I picked up this book and came across this passage. And it said, whatever your dreams are, don't hang on too tight. Throw them out into the universe, because like a boomerang, they will come back to you as a sacred symbol. And the word boomerang was in that paragraph three times.
Of course it was. Yes. So you got your boomerang. Whew, got goosebumps.
Yeah.
This is so powerful when it comes to these signs, because I think that sometimes we're so hooked into needing to see certain things, right? Thank goodness you weren't attached to needing to see an actual boomerang, but knowing that even the word was representative of that, right? And I think, you know, a lot of us look for certain signs and then we don't realize, like, the eagle that we wanted to see, well, it's not the flying eagle in the sky, it's the emblem that you see on someone's jacket, or do you know what I mean? And so I love just bringing that to the surface for those of you listening. The signs are everywhere, but sometimes they're not the signs that you think that they're supposed to be, right? Sometimes they show up in a little different package, let's put it that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're always a delightful surprise.
Aren't they? Yeah, always, always. So, Cheryl, you know, you help people through transition. You help entrepreneurs as well. What are some of the things that you really got out of your experience? Because you went through the dark night of the soul. You left corporate, which is a lot of people's stories that come on this show where they, you know, spirit calls them and says, uh-uh, you're not doing that. You're doing this instead. What are the things that you wish you would have known, or that you really feel compelled to share with people that are maybe sitting back and they're saying, I'm not happy with my life, or, you know, this isn't really working out for me, or spirit's calling me, but I'm not really sure how to step into that. What do you got for us?
Yeah, that's a really good question. If I could go back in time, what I would tell myself is, you're here to have a good time. You're here for fun. You're here for joy. And don't be afraid of change. And learn the skills to help you get really good at change. And trust yourself. That's the big thing, because intuition is all about trust. So how do you trust yourself when you're feeling really uncertain? So there's a letting go of, I want to say, the need to know. Yeah, it's that willingness to trust. So it's the willingness to let uncertainty lead.
Mm-hmm. I like this. Well, and you even said something before that you said letting go of the need to know, right? And that's letting uncertainty lead. And we're not great at that art. Like, you know, I think about all the times in my life where it's like, oh, I need to have the plan and I need to know what it's going to look like. Like, I remember being in junior high and having my whole life planned out. You know, I'm going to get married at 20. I'm going to have kids. I'm going to get this job. I'm going to be a paramedic my whole life. You know, like I had everything planned out and it happened nothing like I planned out. And that was hard for me because I thought I must be doing something wrong. Right. And I think for many of us, we think, well, no, I had this idea of what it looked like and it's not looking like that. And so now am I messing up? And then we get caught in that shame around that too. So I think it's so powerful that this is one of the key points of really surrendering and letting uncertainty lead. We're not supposed to know. We would be so bored if we knew how everything was going to turn out. Yeah,
exactly. Then it wouldn't be an adventure. Wouldn't be fun. Wouldn't be interesting. You know, the other side to that coin would be, yeah, and it wouldn't be so hard either.
It wouldn't be so hard because, you know, what happens when we have the plan and we're attached to the plan, right? Or we're glued to it needing to look a certain way. And then when it doesn't look that way, what are we doing? We're suffering, right? This is not the way it's supposed to go. It should have happened this way, right? You know, I think of lots of times growing up in my life where I would be so devastated by something, how it showed up because it wasn't how I wanted it to, right? And all the suffering in that. Mm-hmm. And so what I hear you saying is that when you allow yourself to lead with uncertainty, what you're really doing is you're saying, I trust God, I trust divine to have my back always. As soon as we doubt that, that's when we fall into despair. That's when we fall into worry and anxiety. So I love that. Lead with uncertainty, letting go of the need to know what does this all look like? What does this all mean, right? That's beautiful. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think the piece that really helped me with that was recognizing that the primal brain inside of us looks for patterns, and when it doesn't find them, it gets alerted because its only function is to look out for threats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got more than that one side of the brain. Right? So, but because it really brings up this, what I would call the fear response, we interpret that as being something bad, but it really isn't. It's a sign of change. It's a sign of growth. So I think, again, if I could give myself advice, it would be recognize you were raised in our society. We are raised with what I would call performance anxiety because, mm-hmm. especially in school, when you're a kid and really impressionable, and I remember the first time I wrote a midterm exam, I had always done so well and then I froze. It was the first time I froze, which says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So my question for anyone listening is, where do you feel frozen right now? Because that is huge opportunity for growth. And are you willing to reframe it that way?
Mm-hmm. So the question, where do you feel frozen right now? And so what you're saying is anywhere where we're not taking action, maybe, or where we're limiting ourselves in some way, maybe we don't even realize it, but a space where we aren't moving the dial so much, that's a great opportunity to go inward, okay, and go a little bit deeper and recognize that that's actually a call for expansion. Is that what I'm hearing you say? Yeah.
Absolutely. Because I think, I know in my experience, I would look at that and go, oh, you know, what's wrong with me? I should be braver. And, you know, I don't know enough. And it was like, no. It's actually the opposite. This frozenness is actually not letting me go any further until I surrender to life being easier. It doesn't want me to repeat the pattern of making it so difficult.
Mm.
That was my learning.
Ah, so that's huge right there. So can you say that again? I really want the audience to hear that.
Sure. So be willing to consider that the reason you feel stuck is not a negative. It's because spirit wants you to have more fun or more joy, more peace, and more empowerment as you continue to grow. If you take some of this old stuff with you, you won't do that.
Beautiful. Do you guys hear that? Do you guys hear that spirit, source, God wants you to have joy, wants you to have fun? This is not about you enduring this long-suffering road here. And a lot of the suffering has been self-induced from the conditioning of society over many, many lifetimes and years, where you have been told you need to perform this way or be this way or do this thing. And so all of this pressure has come upon us. And so then we feel like if we don't show up in that particular way, then, oh, now we're beating up on ourselves. And now we're angry at ourselves. And now we're in, again, guilt and shame. And we're in this vicious cycle. So in order to break that, what we really are being invited to do is recognize that God did not intend for it to be that way, number one. And two, you do have the choice and the power to get off of that hamster wheel. And you have gotten off the hamster wheel, Cheryl.
And as we continue to spiral up, anything in the unconscious that needs to come up will be. And so it's like, oh, you know, I think especially in spiritual circles, we can put so much pressure on ourselves. Like, why am I feeling this way when I do have faith? Like, why would I feel that? And it's not that you don't have faith. It's that you're growing. And so, you know, it's like stuff settling to the bottom. It needs to rise up and go. And that's, I like to bless it as it goes.
Yes. Isn't that a wonderful practice? Ooh, that's a great tip for everybody too, to bless. You know, I think what happens, you know, again, when the stuff comes to the surface and we think, oh my God, haven't I already dealt with this already? And haven't I healed this part? And I've been working so hard. And why do I keep having the same blah, blah, blah? First of all, it's not always the same. There's always different layers of learning, of course. But more importantly, you're inviting us to shift or reframe our perspective on this and say, hey, those difficult times, those drama moments, those trauma moments, anything that's showing up that feels heavy or feels yucky, really what's happening is it's bubbling to the surface so that it can be released. And so rather than looking at it as a negative, like, oh no, this is happening, what am I going through? We can shift our frame to say, oh, thank goodness this is coming to the surface. Thank goodness I'm having this conflict at work. Thank goodness that person did whatever they did to me. Thank goodness. And if we can understand that, we get to receive the value in it, right? We get to receive the lessons and the learning and the gifts of all of that and be free of it once and for all so that we can elevate, so that we can continue evolving.
Exactly. And these kinds of conversations are so much fun because rather than, again, feel badly about this, it's like we're really dropping the need to take it personally. And in the beginning, it does feel personal because it's how we learned how to measure ourselves. But it's an inaccurate measure because it's coming from, you know, limited consciousness. And in many times, it's coming from irrational
beliefs and
so it's a good thing. It just, so the other tip I would give is when it doesn't feel so good, that's okay. It's okay. And I put myself through so much pressure throughout the years. In fact, I would say that I grew up with an internal terror. I didn't recognized at the time, but as I look back, it was like, wow, did I really enjoy my life, even as, you know, a youngster in school? Because I was always, am I going to pass? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that?
Oh, me too. The pressure was huge that I put on myself. Yeah.
And so the uncomfortable feelings are letting you know you've made some assumptions that are not true. And if the feelings feel condemning, just because you have a thought or feel a feeling does not mean it's true. That feeling is a valid feeling. Drop the judgment, and now it becomes much easier to let it go.
Yes. And aren't we all our own worst self-critics, right? You know, I mean, in the role that I play, like, I'm generally a very happy person. I really am. I have an incredible life. I've designed it consciously for myself. And in general, I'm very happy. But I also have some real life stuff that I have to deal with, whether it's people dying, whether it's, you know, dealing with a difficult person, a conflict or whatever. I still have life stuff. And one of the things that really I started to notice over the last couple of years was, like, it was almost like because of my position, because of my role, that I always needed to be happy and I always needed to be positive and, you know, and I've recognized now that the acceptance of me being in a place that isn't always rainbows, butterflies, happy, but the acceptance of me being in a place of lowness, of depression, of struggle, of whatever it is that I'm feeling that's not the high vibration, I'm really honoring and holding the space for that. And as a result of that, I'm moving the energy so much faster than I ever had before, because instead I would resist it, right? I would block it, push it away, which is what many of us do, right? It's like, oh, I don't want to deal with that, you know? One of my dearest friends passed away a couple years ago. I went straight to work because if I went to work, I got to focus on work, which felt way better than sitting and feeling sorry for myself. However, that grief then got dragged out for years, right? I'm still on the tail end of moving that grief for myself. But when we allow ourselves to just lean in with that not feeling good, you know, when it doesn't feel so good, it's okay, you said. When it doesn't feel so good, it's still okay. And that's accepting that energy. And by accepting that, we're already starting to alchemize and move that energy, aren't we?
Absolutely. And I would even say that it's just as sacred as anything else.
Yeah.
And that's just hitting me right now. I've never said that before. I'm just feeling it now because everything in life is sacred. It's a sacred movement. And especially right now, I think that there's such a call for us to be very expansive towards ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, in the collective unconscious that Jung talked about in the archetypes and, you know, and how archetypes are alive in the Akashic records. And so looking at this movement, and he talked about individuation and how glorious is that? How beautiful is that? And so, you know, the analogy that I like to use is I really encourage people to think in metaphor, because when you think in metaphor, it makes sense. It bypasses everything and then you can get through it much faster. So I was having an experience the other day, like you've just described. It's like, oh, okay, this is really heavy. And then I realized that in consciousness, what we're going through right now in the spiritual awakening and the ascension is literally, we are being birthed like a baby. We're the baby, but we're also birthing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also the midwife.
Yes.
All three.
We're the mother, the child, the midwife. We're all the things. Yeah.
So this greater consciousness that is birthing us is saying, it's okay. Mm-hmm. So when those scary feelings come in, it's okay. It's like a baby going through the birth canal. Like, can you imagine? I mean, we know what it's like as mothers, but you can imagine what it's like as, you know, the baby being squeezed through. Well, that's what we're going through. Only we don't have to stay in the stuckness.
If we choose to, we're willing to shift our perspective about those perceived lower vibrational experiences and feelings, right? And so once we shift our perspective, then we start to come and look at the world with a bit more neutrality, don't we? And it's that neutrality that allows us to then say, okay, what lesson? What do I get in all of this? It's seeing the value in all things, which I've been speaking about a lot. And what you're really saying is see the value in even those perceived difficult times. See the value.
Absolutely. And in hindsight, you know, how important that happened. How important. And because we know that now, as we move into more, let us take the learning. And I love this idea that we don't learn from experience. We learn from reflecting on the experience.
Mm. That's where the learning comes in.
Yeah. Yes. I really like that because I know a lot of people that have been through experiences and not learned from them, right? Because they haven't taken a chance to step back, be the observer, and really reflect on it. So I think that's powerful too. Okay. So Cheryl, you have given us so many things. Life is meant to be joyful and fun. Don't be afraid of change. Trust. And how do we trust when uncertain? It's letting go of the need to know. It's letting uncertainty lead. And when it doesn't feel so good, it's still okay. So those are the notes that I took that really picked up, that really resonated for me. So now you're also doing work in neuroscience. So now you're bridging science and spirituality is what I'm seeing. Is there anything that you need to share about that? Anything that you're feeling compelled to express? And I know that you'll just intuit whatever.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we're here for a good time. So, you know, it's like, okay, well, what's the neuroscience of change? Could it also be the neuroscience of fun? And I really highlight the word fun because right now, coming, you know, out of the pandemic, there's a lot of fatigue. There's a lot of, I would say, you know, that shifting gears. And there can be the temptation to, and I'm saying this for all of us, just stay very, very aware. Stay very present. Is this thought I'm thinking expanding or diminishing me?
Is this thought I'm thinking expanding or diminishing me? Beautiful. What a great question to ask ourselves. Because how many times do we just let our thoughts play and play and play?
Exactly. Yeah. So this biofeedback machine of feeling uncomfortable, it's like, oh, okay, wait a minute. Everything is happening for my good. Everything. And there, we all have these unconscious programs where, as much as we think we're conscious, there's always going to be the opportunity to say, okay, I'll know how conscious I am by how willing I am to love myself in the situation. And this is where I really feel that what we're up to here is in allowing ourselves to return to joy. We're dropping the assumption that we're not even aware of.
Wow. Yes.
And this is where it's like, oh, so the question isn't so much, oh, I fell off the horse. The question always will be, how quickly can I get back on? And I wrote something the other day and I read it and I thought, wow, I wrote that. So I have to share it with you. The soup of despair will always leave you hungry.
The soup of despair will always leave you hungry. Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas the, well, I'm Ukrainian, the cabbage rolls of joy will always fill you up. And, you know, we have a moral responsibility to our joy. Because joy does not exclude, you know, the pain in life.
Right.
The joy embraces it. And my definition of joy is not just the fun and the, you know, the lightness. It's also, it's okay. Everything really, it's okay.
It's accepting that everything is okay, right? It's accepting uncertainty, right? And that is joy. At least part of it, anyways. Oh, love it. Beautiful, Cheryl. Okay, so I could just go back and forth with you. We could just share these little nuggets of joy with the audience, but we are at our time now. So Cheryl, if somebody says, oh, I really love this woman, I want to spend some time with her, how can they reach you? How can they connect with you? What do you have for them?
Well, they can reach me at Cheryl@theintuitivelife.com. That's my email. And I'll give you my social media links. What I would love to offer people to have a chance to get to know me and how I work is to just book a 15 minute with me and let's play with your future self. Because, and this is a homework piece I give everyone who's interested in this complimentary session, is role play your future self right now.
Mm-hmm.
What comes in, and then call me and let's have a conversation. Because this is leading from uncertainty in a very fun way and a great way of working with your intuition.
What a fun way to lean into some adventure there. And so, Cheryl, you're offering a gift. We're going to put that link in the show notes. So all of you listening, you will have access to that in the show notes. You'll just have to click on the link, and Cheryl's contact information and social media will be in there as well. So you can follow her and like her and all those things. So, Cheryl, any final words coming to you to wrap today up? Anything that you just feel inspired to share as we say goodbye today?
Yes. The thing that you have been afraid to do has another side to it.
Mm.
Excitement. Mm. So, whatever it is you're afraid to do, tune into the other side of it and see what's there. It will surprise you.
I love it. Beautifully said. Tune into the other side of that fear because there's something in there for you. Yes, indeed. Well, I hope that you feel inspired, and I hope there's at least one thing that you are feeling a bit fearful of that you're going to lean into now, that you're going to open the door possibility to after today's conversation. Cheryl, thank you so much for shining your light on all of us today and sharing your wonderful wisdom. It's been such a treat to have you.
Well, thank you for making that possible.
Anytime. You can come back anytime. All right. Oh, so good. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of When Spirit Calls. Can't wait to be with you next time. Bye for now, everyone. So happy you could join us today. And we hope that you found comfort and inspiration with wherever you are at right now. If you feel you received a gift in today's message, please pass that gift along to a loved one by sharing this episode with them. To continue this conversation, please join me at rosehope.ca. And when you do, be sure to access your free gift by signing up for the When Spirit Calls newsletter. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again soon.